May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love that story. Had somebody tell me the other day, and I understand what they were saying, and I'm certainly not against it, but they were saying, I love order. I'm thinking, buddy, you better strap up, because Jesus sometimes disrupts order. And I certainly don't want to promote chaos. I never want to promote wackadoodle or chaos, but sometimes Jesus creates holy chaos. Here at CTK, there have been times when we've been referred to in the CEC at large as the crazy charismatic church. But I even wonder how many people we would lose if one Sunday somebody started carving a hole through our roof and I didn't do anything to stop it. Because everybody would be on their cell phone calling the police. So I think God's going to probably test the chaotic button in our lives in the days to come. Because Jesus just likes to do stuff like that, like healing people on the Sabbath. Remember when he healed the man in, I think it's John chapter 6 or 5. He had been lame all of his life. And the father told Jesus to heal the guy and pick up his pallet and walk. When the 39th article of the things you can't do on the Sabbath, written by the Pharisees, who weren't super friendly religious people, was to not pick up anything or carry anything. And Jesus heals the guy on the Sabbath, which you shouldn't do, and tells the guy to pick this thing up and carry it. That was when they really got mad at Jesus. And then when they came and confronted him, this isn't the message either, when they came and confronted him, Jesus explains to them, don't blame me, he said, I just do those things I see the Father doing. And then they really got mad because he claimed that God was his Father. Nobody called God their Father. And so the Father picked a fight, creating chaos. I love what he read because it so affirms some things I want to share this morning. This is from All I Knew Is, and this is what happens to me pretty much most of the time, is the Lord will show me, or he'll tell me, this is the section of scripture I want you to hang out with. And I'm just going to speak to you for a while. And so it was from Matthew chapter 11. I thought, well, Lord, that's kind of like not incarnational. We're in Advent, but it's all incarnation. So verse 1 says, it came about that after Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John was in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else? And Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John the things for which you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. Now most of the people, I guess all the people I've ever heard preach on this section, all the times I've ever heard Chucky preach on this section, talking about John being offended, that what we talked about was the fact that John was expecting Christ to come and establish the kingdom on earth. Therefore, kick out the Roman rule and all the corrupt officials that were Jews that were cooperating with the Romans. Kick them out. Establish the kingdom. John preached the kingdom. And then Jesus wasn't doing that. And therefore, John was offended that Jesus wasn't doing it the way he thought he should. And so he sent message, are you the one, or should we look for someone else? And we've applied that to the fact that there are those times in our lives when we get offended because Christ isn't doing it the way we thought he should, or on the time schedule we thought it was going to be on, or doesn't look exactly like we thought. Because we kind of lean over the front seat from the back seat going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? not giving God time and space to work things out his way. Remember, he wears a watch. It always says fullness of time. But I realize that even though I think if they were all looking for the kingdom, and this was a cousin of Jesus, he was just a few months older than Christ, 6 months older. And because Elizabeth and Mary were so intimate in their relationship, I assume they had been together many times growing up before John went out in the wilderness and decided to get weird, become a charismatic. And so they knew each other. They were really familiar. Therefore, obviously, the father wasn't really concerned about Jesus doing something that looked like nepotism, putting somebody on staff that was a relative. But here's the thing, that even though they had known each other, John's first public declaration as the prophet, when he saw Christ coming to him for baptism, was what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Oh. So I don't think John got offended because Jesus wasn't establishing the kingdom. He had already declared what he fully understood, that Jesus had come to take away the sins of the world. Now, John was offended that Christ wasn't doing it the way he thought he would do it, but his offense wasn't because Jesus wasn't, quote, establishing the kingdom on earth. He was offended because Jesus was supposed to come and take away the sins of the world. John understood the power of sin and its reign. He preached repentance all the time. And so Jesus' answer to him is fascinating to me in light of the fact that John's offense was, you're supposed to be taking away the sins of the world. I guess John thought that he would be more, there'd be more universal repentance. I don't know. And Jesus wasn't doing that. Because it says here that when John in prison heard of the works of Christ. So he knew what Jesus was doing. Healing sick. When Jesus sent that word back to John, tell him that I'm healing the sick, I'm raising the dead, I'm doing all that stuff. It wasn't like John go, oh, I didn't know that. Or John was going, Jesus, no, this was my priority. This is the kingdom. No, John had already heard about those things. He was upset because Jesus was supposed to be taking away the sins of the world and he wasn't doing it. Or was he? When Jesus answered back to him and said, go report to John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, or the afflicted. The good news is preached to the afflicted. That's what it says in Isaiah 61. If you come to it of somebody who's afflicted and say, I've got good news for you, it normally means you're not going to have to be afflicted anymore. Jesus' response, and he said, blessed are those who aren't offended with me. John's saying, I thought you were supposed to take away the sins of the world. You're not doing it. I hear about all these cool things you're doing. And Jesus' answer is, all these cool things that I'm doing is taking away the sins of the world. I came to set people free from the ravages of the reign of sin, from the oppression of the enemy and the kingdom of darkness. And therefore, people being healed, the afflicted being set free, is very much a part of Jesus taking away the sins of the world. Do we all know people who haven't gotten healed on this side, who died of something? Everybody dies of something. But should we get comfortable with that and separate the gospel being setting you free from fear and anger and lust and greed? No, it's more than that. Jesus said it very clearly. He said back to John, oh, John, oh, by the way, all these things, I'm doing exactly what you declared I would do. Taking away the sins of the world includes this too. Not that I'm saying they're sick or afflicted because they sinned. This is the result of sin being in the world and the spiritual death that sin brings, which affects us physically too. And so my point is that we need to step back. And regardless of what our experience has been or not been, we should passionately be the body through which Christ continues to heal all those who are oppressed by the devil. We should assume the preaching of the gospel includes this. This is setting people free. Healing is setting people free from another expression of the ravages of sin, of the reign of sin. The story that Bracken read this morning is so awesome because they cut a hole in the roof, lowered this guy down. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. They get ticked off because how can he say that? And he said, okay, make you feel better. You're healed, rise and walk. Because it's the same thing. The forgiveness of sins, the big one. But all the other stuff that Christ did, when it says that by his stripes we are healed, it meant so much more than we can ever imagine. But isn't it interesting what Jesus said? You're offended with me because I'm doing the very thing you decreed that I would do. You just didn't know how far healing people from the reign of sin, the ravages of sin, would go. Amen? So the moral of the story is if I drop dead of something tomorrow, then pray for the next person to be healed with expectation. Because that's the gospel. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.